Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 30th on the west coast of the United States, now October the 1st on the east coast and in the central time zone. Also, we would like to welcome anyone who is listening to this show on Windtalkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Lots to talk about tonight. Before we bring up our guest, just want to reference some shows that I've done within the past 24 hours. Actually, we've done 6 hours of radio talking about either the swine flu, bird flu, human flu, pandemic, put that in quotes, pandemic. And also we've been talking about this little tiff that's going on in Hardin, Montana. For those of you who are listening into the show for the first time or have not really been reading anything on the web, this is not being discussed on mainstream media whatsoever, although there have been some Associated Press releases in regard to this story. What we have is a correctional institute or a prison, to use the more colloquial term. And this prison was built by a originally declared Texas investment consortium that didn't want to identify themselves. And it was not opened. The attorney general in Montana said that it couldn't be used as a correctional facility, that there is actually a way these things go down. I imagine, I suppose if you and I and a bunch of our friends pooled our money together, we could build a prison and then, and just hire somebody to guard it for us, tell them that they're going to take over, the town as the police force, and that should be okay. That's exactly what's happening here. Now, you and I both know that that's not going to happen. We're not the powers that be. We're not these megabucks, and we're not the Illuminati. We're not part of the New World Order. So, in this case, I followed the money, and still I haven't done any more research other than read a few emails that have come through. But I've done, off of 15 minutes of research, I've done 6 hours and 20 minutes of broadcast on this issue. And I have to say that it's making some waves in Montana, the truth that's coming out. I'm going to read a short article here that someone sent me earlier this evening. And I find it interesting because I've been crying out to the public around the world, even to the military around the world, that we need to pay attention to what's going on here. They're bringing international paramilitary police in from foreign countries into Montana, into a town of 3,400 people, that was the unlucky recipient of a correctional institute that's designed to house 464 prisoners from around the world. And it at one point it was speculated that they would close down Guantanamo Bay and send the so-called terrorists that they have there, send them over to Montana. I'm sure the people in Montana don't want that. And for that matter, none of us do. You're telling us we're in a war on terror, now you're bringing the terrorists into this country? Are you people mad? Well, that question's been answered on previous shows, so I'm just asking rhetorically here. Anyway, the article comes from a Matthew Brown, an Associated Press writer, and it's entitled, Montana Lawmakers Want Info on Secretive California Company. Now, notice this is the Associated Press, and you're going to see that they don't name the company, but I'm going to share that with you. I did it on the show last night. I did it on 2 shows with True Watt yesterday and on a 2-hour show with Drew Raines on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network. We talked about this very specifically. And this is not just a red flag. This is a red herring. Billings, Montana. Montana legislators said Tuesday they want to know more about a secretive California company that wants to take over an empty jail in the southeastern corner of the state and build a military training center on adjacent property. The company, American Police Force, has attracted widespread attention with its plans, but won't reveal its backers or where it would get prisoners for the jail, located in the rural city of Hardin. With Hardin officials also saying little about the company, rumors have flourished. On a website run by right-wing radio show host Alex Jones, a post claimed that employees of American Police Force had, this is a quote within the article, occupied, unquote, the city and started patrolling its streets. Montana Representative Bob Ebinger said more rumors were likely until Hardin and the company provide more details. And this is a quote. Always when things are secretive, you end up getting everybody on both the right and the left. But notice they don't mention anybody in the middle. Making suppositions about what's going on, said Ebinger, or Ebinger, depending on your pronunciation of preference, a Democrat from Livingston. Ebinger and other members of the legislature's Law and Justice Committee said they would ask Hardin officials to provide more information about the company. In addition to taking over the 464-bed, $27 million jail, the company has said it will sink $17 million into a military training center. Now, don't we already have those here in the United States? Do we need, they're closing down bases. Now they're going to build a military training center? And is seeking 5,000 acres or more, I've heard up to 10,000, for a live fire training ground. Okay, they want gun control, but they're going to take 10,000 acres and start shooting weapons. Company spokeswoman Becky Shea said there were no plans to reveal the project's financial backers. Well, that's true. I spoke with Ms. Shea on True Watts, the story behind the story on Rents Radio last night before I came to my broadcast. And I asked her that question, and she didn't reveal it to me. So I revealed it to her, and we're going to reveal it to you in a moment. We're still sitting tight, said Shea, who took the job with American Police Force last week, after abruptly leaving the Billings Gazette, where she had written extensively about the jail over the last several years. Hardin built the jail 2 years ago as an economic development project, but was never able to find any prisoners. That's not exactly true, by the way, folks. That statement is quite misleading. Its agreement with American Police Force, worth at least $2.6 million a year, has yet to be validated by U.S. Bank, the trustee on the construction bonds used to pay for the facility. The bonds went into default in May 2008. Now, that's the end of the article, so we say, unquote. The companies that actually brag about financing these things are twofold. There's a group called Community Education Centers, Inc., and they bought out another company called Civigenics, and the two companies are running this. But the even though Community Education Centers is the managing leasing company behind this, and this is something, again, I repeat, that the state of Montana did not want, and they went to court and sued over this because they spent $27 million. By the way, they don't point out $20 million went into the facility, the $7 million was kept on the side to run the place. Now, I bet you if you ask where that $7 million went, no one could tell you. That's just an educated guess. There's two groups credited in pulling the financial deal together, actually selling the bonds on the market. One is called Municipal Capital Management Group, Inc., out of Dallas, Texas. And the other company is Herbert J. Sims, a New Jersey brokerage firm that specializes in long-term care facilities for senior citizens. Not quite the same thing as a prison. Not quite the same thing as a prison to house terrorists and misdemeanor violators, putting them all in the same place. To boot, this American police force, which is registered as a California company, has a what's described as a virtual office in Washington, D.C., when I brought up the address with Ms. Shea. She was very polite, by the way. I don't mean to speak poorly of her or down about her. I think she was doing the best she can. She's only been on this a week. I've only been on it for 15 minutes, but I was able to provide her with some information that she was not willing to share with the audience. And I don't know if that's because she didn't have the information or she wasn't willing to share it, but nonetheless I did. And they have an office at 1701 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., one block from the White House, mind you. So I think that's significant. Now, we have a Serbian national who Ms. Shea says is now a naturalized American citizen, and they are using a coat of arms, a Serbian coat of arms, on these vehicles that are seen in photographs and videos that were taken there. They drove into the town in 12 black Mercedes-Benz, darkened out windows, SUVs, with the APF, American Police Force logo. We've got police officers around the country without jobs, and they're bringing in international mercenaries to guard a prison and a town. Now, they were putting the rumor out that the council voted to get rid of the sheriff, which is a lie. It's an outright lie. And these emails were sent around by some talk show hosts and talk show guests, well-known, not even going to use their names. One was mentioned in this article. But it's the typical fear-mongering and disinformation that goes out there. I went down the rabbit hole. I dug up the truth. And at least the legislators in Montana are responding. The whole country should be responding, because if you look into these groups that I mentioned, you'll find that they manage facilities like this all over the country. They have 12 of them in the state of Delaware, 20 of them in Pennsylvania. This is the first one in Montana. They got 18 in Texas, and they've got somewhere around 9 or 10 of them in Florida. Certainly, if we plot them on a map and connect the dots, you can see how they plan to take over this country and incarcerate people, possibly under their noncompliance with taking a deadly vaccine that they're trying to ram down everybody's throats. So this story has great significance, folks. We need to stay on top of this. And I want to encourage people to do your own research and don't believe everything that arrives in an email. This was one of these email psyop jobs from the beginning. When you go down the rabbit hole, here we have Associated Press. They're not willing to say the name of the company. Well, if you know a little bit of how to research, you can find these things out. And they own hundreds of these. Let me just say that. Okay, with that, we're going to switch gears and invite tonight's guest on the show. He is a health consultant, and he's got a background in chemistry with a former employee of a Fortune 500 company. And also, he's an herbalist and a historian and a musician, my good friend Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Well, thank you, Don. Good morning.
Yes, it is morning, isn't it?
Yes.
Some parts of the world.
Yes, it is.
You got to hear a little bit about this this deal going on in Montana. What's your general impression?
Well, sounds just like continued expansion of the Blackwater type operations, and also connected to Root and Brown, and probably all stemming under the umbrella of Halliburton all in all. And it's pretty pathetic how they keep milking the taxpayer, feeding off them like parasites as well.
Yes. Now, I gave the listening audience the companies that were behind the building of this thing, although they attribute it all to Hardin, you see, the city council. And these are nothing but lies being spun to hide what's going on here. And this is far more sinister than what it appears. They said that the city council voted out the sheriff. And that's preposterous. That can't occur. He's got the most clout, the most seniority of anyone in that whole county.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a county official. The county being Bighorn County. And numerous calls to the sheriff's department have, resulted in the same responses that this isn't true. This hasn't occurred. Now, the stories about, this APF, of course, are true, but they've been trying to hide that as much as possible. Whether or not people were actually stopped already and harassed by this American police force, we don't know. They're described as staying at a local hotel in some of the articles that have come out. You see contradictions within the same piece. You can't have it both ways. The sheriff can't be in charge and be voted out of office. And there's no legal way to do that through a city council, especially one of a town the size of 3,400 people.
If you mean that they're dissolving the position of sheriff, that's totally unconstitutional.
Well, they didn't hire him. The voters voted him in the office. That's the point.
You can't dissolve the position. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. So now they built this prison on a 40-acre parcel of land, and they're trying to expand this operation by 10,000 more acres to put what appears, like you said, another Blackwater type of outfit.
Right. With mercenaries.
Foreigners. Okay.
Yes. Mercenaries. Modern day Hessians.
Yes.
Is how I would view that.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, they're going to try anything they can, try to get away with anything they can, and we have to push to draw the proper attention to this. Mainstream still hasn't picked up on it, so you know they've been told to stay away from this story.
Sure, Don,
I can tell you that.
Of course. This is clearly more of a militarization activity of law enforcement. And they want to keep that quiet until they have it firmly in place, firmly established, and that's what they're trying to do. So constant exposure to this activity, the fact that they're foreigners, essentially mercenaries. What are they doing here? Why are they getting taxpayer funds to for their activities, clandestine activities, actually? And so all the more exposure, the better.
Yeah. Well, I raised some points, and I suppose after I have the opportunity to, put my goggles on and go down there with night vision goggles into the rabbit hole, you know, I'll come up with some more stuff, I'm sure. I'm sure of that.
You know, Don, that's where our militias are so critical to the well-being of this country as a constitutional republic. Because any kind of insurgence or foreign activity, especially in a military fashion, they would be met abruptly by the local militias and put in check right away. But the communists, of course, and the foreigners running our government, they dissolved the militias at the beginning of the 20th century because they knew that was the essential muscle that would always prevent that kind of subversive activity from occurring within our borders.
Yeah, you're right. I'm getting messages about this, but I'm not prepared to share those yet, but in time we'll have more information. There are people out there looking at this, okay? And I already know where the money trail goes, okay? And it smacks of the same corruption. You know, Michael, they're closing down military bases, right? And probably turning them into concentration camps. Right. Homestead Air Force Base is a drug depot. And anybody in the military knows that. Certainly in the Air Force, they know that. People in Florida know that. And here, you know, they're closing down all the military bases, but they're putting up paramilitary training grounds. Stop and think, people. Wake up.
That's right.
Now, let's look at the bigger picture. I think we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about some things that you and I talked about within the past couple of weeks. We actually had the opportunity to talk about the realities of space and things that are going on in outer space. And there's a very clandestine but concerted effort to try to discredit the calls that have come into the show on two occasions, once on May 29th of this year and the second one on July 28th. Call from space, you know, the usual operatives, the agent provocateur, are out there trying to discredit what I might say about the bird flu. Try to discredit me on this Hardin thing. I mean, that's pretty hard to do. Okay.
Sure. Of course. The bird flu,
well,
that case is closed. It's all prefabricated and the evidence is overwhelming.
Yeah. But the biggest secret on this planet is that we are not alone. And yet many millions of people, possibly even a billion people, are to some great extent aware that there is life on other planets. There is life in our solar system. On the planets in our solar system, there is life, just like here on Earth. These planets were not accidents. You know, it's not like somebody's up there looking for the next Dairy Queen or McDonald's restaurant. There is life teeming throughout the universe. There's no doubt about that. And there are many, many researchers throughout the years who have brought forth evidence about this. I've got some people calling in that do want to talk about this Hardin thing. Now is not the right time. If you can listen to the show a little bit, we may come back to this topic, but we've sort of shifted gears at the moment, and so please understand. I'm just talking about this because this is progressing as we speak, and I just want to get the truth out there. I don't really want to dwell on that topic anymore tonight. We may come back to it. If we do, please call back in. There are many, many researchers who have come forth and talked about various cases throughout our nation's history and in other parts of the world. We've got biblical references. We've got references to extraterrestrial visitation to this planet in the pyramids, in the ancient artifacts of cities that were buried by volcanoes and dug up, all around the planet, there's evidence of this. And it's been hidden from the people. It's been portrayed to be something of fantasy, something that you're just going to see on a TV show or in a movie. And that's to reinforce that this is only in TV shows, only in the movies that you see these things. And so people don't know when they're seeing the real deal or not. Well, they say, well, there's no such thing as flying saucers. It's swamp gas. It's crash dummies. Or it's weather balloons. They say ridiculous things like that, and everybody believes that. And yet, many people have seen these crafts. So who do they belong to? Oh, well, now there are craft. All of a sudden, we just got all this advanced technology. I'm not saying that we haven't built any of these craft, because we have. And we know the bases, the underground bases that exist, where they're built and where they're test flown and where they operate from. And we know of hundreds of underground bases around the planet. So this is no big secret. We've talked about this. Millions of people have seen these things. and they have one official from the Air Force come out or one official from Naval Intelligence come out and say, well, this is not true. You know, these people are imagining these things. They're wackos. They're nutcases. And yet you see these things with your eyes. Many people have been abducted. Many people have spent their whole lives researching these things because they've had very real experiences. And these experiences are going on, whether they tell us they are or not. Don't expect to see the truth from the media because they lie. Don't expect to see the truth from the government because they are the masters at lying. So you're not going to get the story from them until they're ready to present it in the fashion that they wish to present it, with the spin on it that they want, with a psyop on it that they want, so that they can control you, so that they can keep getting people to put billions and billions of dollars into religious organizations and into government programs while they hoodwink you and lie to you about what's really going on in the universe. You see, the lies do not dispel the truth. The truth is there, and the truth stands on its own. And we've talked about the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, on this show. And there's a bunch of clowns working for NASA and the PSYOPs, probably the NSA and FEMA and Homeland Security, all of them together, taking my photos of Planet Balqui and backdating them, posting them on websites like in Russia. Like this guy from Russia has a photo, and they put the name Mount Fuji on it, and now it's supposed to be a picture of Mount Fuji. It's ridiculous. First of all, volcanoes tend to look very much alike, okay? And when you doctor up a photo, especially by stealing my photos, my copywritten photos, you see, no one's suing me for copyright infringement, Michael.
Yes,
I posted those photos, you see? But I could go out and sue them. Actually, I've tracked these people down. There's a clown at the University of California, Irvine, sending some of these emails out. And they're sending the emails out with the same links. You mean to tell me these people just go out on their own, start doing this research on my pictures, my photographs, posted on my website, and miraculously find these things labeled with a number or a letter or something like that, with no point of reference? You see, this is how desperate they are to keep the truth from coming to the forefront, from becoming known to the masses, that they will do whatever they can to discredit a person. One person presents that much of a challenge that they have to sick their agents on them. And these people are trackable, Michael. Without any money, without any super technology, they're very trackable. It's very easy to connect the dots as to who's behind all this. You see? And
you know,
it's not going to stop me. So they can waste their time if they want. I'm not going to invest the time in it other than what I'm referencing right now.
It's all okay, Don, as far as there's always going to be the disinformation specialists out there working to reverse any kind of gains in the truth movement. However, you know, what you're dealing with is something abstract still to the public, and it's going to be hard to convince or prove. But let's go right to the real proof, like the photos from 1952 over Washington, D.C., right over the Capitol, when a flurry of UFOs were buzzing the Capitol at night. And this was highly published in the mainstream media back in that time frame. It was shown on TV in the early 60s for a while as a documentary. So what was that? There's no refuting that happened.
What about the Battle of Los Angeles in 1942?
And you have that. Now, of course, they'll say that was supposedly some Japanese activity. But, of course, they fired tons of ballistics into the skies over L.A., but nothing ever came down.
Yeah.
A lot of rapid fire for at least an hour straight.
Yeah, I'm sure in 1942 the Japanese had flying saucers, because you can see the searchlights trained on where they were firing those cannons.
Right.
You know, and it was right in the newspapers.
That's right. Yes, it was. That was a big event.
Yeah.
But they could always say that that was you know, Japanese related. They were off the coast.
It was Japanese swamp gas is what it was.
Right. That's right. But when you look at the photos of 52 over the Capitol, I mean, case closed. It's right there. No denying it. And so as that particular tidbit of information firmly establishes this as fact, then we can delve into what are they, where did they come from. And so you know, they can't refute that, Don, and they don't even try. So they'll constantly come after the information that's not quite concrete yet, and therefore it's easy to trip people up over that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's stick to what is definitely established fact, no air refuting it at all, and then everybody has to come to terms with reality. It's a fact. The Capitol got buzzed by a fleet of UFOs, unknown origin. Jets could not even track them down. They would literally vanish instantly off the radar screen and then reappear just as fast. And so, you know, there is the hard, cold case that nobody can refute at all.
And that's 57 years ago.
That's okay. Right. A long time ago already.
And the Battle of Los Angeles, 67 years ago. Aurora, Texas, 1899, was it? I think it was that windmill that got clipped by a saucer.
There were sightings all through the late 1800s into the early 1900s.
Yeah, this is not a new phenomenon. That's the whole point.
Not at all. But, interestingly, during the 19th century sightings, a lot of the craft were very unusual by when they were described. I mean, some were considered just floating ships with sails and everything. Very incredible. And so then with the 20th century, all of a sudden there are these mysterious lightning bolts that just dart across the sky and disappear so quick. And so that tells me that these forces behind these events are guiding our civilization, our culture. And their signs are the future of where we're heading, okay? And so through the 20th century, with the more sophisticated kind of UFO activity, with the descriptions of the sightings, it's clearly setting the stage for rapid advancement of technology. And sure enough, the 20th century was phenomenal. There was no other century like it for technology development.
Yeah.
And we can only acknowledge the technology we are familiar with. We don't even know about all the technology they have suppressed that could be totally Star Trek for us right now if it was available.
Well, it probably is. And all we have to do, those of us that can think outside the box, only have to use our imagination and our creativity and our connection with the creative source of all life. And you cannot discount that there are other beings. You cannot discount that there are beings more intelligent, not warlike, not thieving, not pedophiles, not murderous, and quite capable of defending themselves.
But there's plenty that are. And,
oh, yeah.
And the Nazis were in alignment with them.
No doubt about it, and still are.
Yes, that's where they got their beginning with technology advancements. A lot of that from their contacts through their black magic practices.
Yes, and if you think about all the things that are going on, these things that we talked about at the opening of the show, or the flu pandemic, or all the deaths that are created through the so-called miracles of the pharmaceutical companies and organized medicine throughout the planet. All the symbology points to the same symbols that they use in space and they use in their secret societies, serpents and demons metaphysical symbolism twisted to be the antithesis of a light creation, a creation made out of love. They've perverted everything. And
that's what they do.
Yeah.
They corrupt. They corrupt everything.
Yes. And so that's the driving force behind all the secrecy, you see, is they've gained a certain amount of power. They've enjoyed this power for thousands of years on this planet, and they cannot come to grips with the fact that they're losing it. It's disintegrating. Go ahead.
Yes, it soon will slip right out of their hands, and there's nothing they can do about it.
All they can try to do is oppress us or get rid of us. And mm-hmm. and we are fed morsels of information, and most of it. You and I did a whole show on the Mars photos not too long ago, mm-hmm. and I got a lot of response from the listeners on that. There's a video out of the Mars landing. I think
right.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm glad that's still there. That's worthwhile watching.
Yeah, well, you know, it's psychological for it being there, because most people would discount it, and they make sure that if they leave the chat feature, the comment feature open on that page, you're going to get a lot of people making the usual comments. But, you know, let's talk about the film that I put together, and I called it a documentary because, in a sense, it documents certain things that occurred during or immediately after that interview with General Jeremiah on May 29th of this year. And I posted some beautiful pictures of Balqui, and they went to great extent to try to discredit these photos as having been lifted from websites, but the so-called copyright owners haven't sued me for copyright infringement, and that's because they'd have to really reveal who they are. Mm-hmm. Okay, and as I've alluded to with Ken Adachi, we'll come out with the story when the time is appropriate, and just expose the whole rat sack full of the operatives behind this charade. They can't deal with the fact that the truth is accessible to anyone if they know how to find it. They can't deal with that because it doesn't cost any money. You don't have to put trillions of dollars. You don't have to steal money to come up with it, you see? And this is happening all over the planet, Michael. People are waking up. It's not as fast as you or I and many of our associates would like to see it happen, but it's happening. You have to admit it yourself, right?
Sure, absolutely. It's a gradual process. Fortunate are those that have woken up a lot faster, ahead of the pack, and that's just how it is with fast-moving electrons in the outer shells of the orbiting mass. But the mass themselves will catch up, and that's just how it is in God's creation.
Yes.
And it's long overdue here. And the people have to just come to terms with the fact that we are magical beings, and we're not alone.
Yes.
There's good angels and bad angels. Now, in between the good angels and the bad angels, there could be, and probably is, a gamut, a wide spectrum of life forms. But they all have to make a choice. Those that are divine sparked, that have the power of free will.
Yeah.
They all have to make a choice at some point in their lives as they establish their feet on a path. They have to come to a fork where they either go left or right.
Mm-hmm. Michael, you see this all the time, the knee-jerk reaction when you mention these topics to people. People either readily accept it or immediately reject it. And
it's hard to believe, and we're led to believe that this is all nonsense. But hey, a lot of people believe that dinosaurs are extinct, and fossil fuel comes from dinosaurs. I mean, you know, those are the people that were like the flat earthers in the Middle Ages, where they said the earth is flat, and they all believed it and took it for granted as gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just how it is. But nonetheless, I could show photograph after photograph of various living dinosaurs, dead, some recently dead with the flesh still rotting as a carcass, and others where they're obviously still alive, swimming. And it's irrefutable. Dozens and dozens of various photos, all obviously real, especially the one from Arthur C. Clarke. I mean, is Arthur C. Clarke lying too? And he showed it on TV from the 70s when a Japanese fishing trawler fished out a giant carcass of a clear dinosaur. And its flesh was rotting. So it just died not too long ago at that point in time.
Yeah, of course, they'll say, well, that was probably frozen and floated there, you know, from the Antarctic or...
Well, you know, no, Don, nobody... All they did was have Japanese scientists come out to study it, and then they threw it overboard. Nobody knew anything about it. They kept it quiet, as they always did, so that there wouldn't have to be any discussion at all.
Yeah.
And so this is how it is with the controllers. They don't want us to have any idea about reality at all, whether it's in our own terra firma, planet Earth, or down deep in the oceans, or way out in space, or even more advanced is the multidimensional reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sure enough, we have linear space, but we also have multidimensional reality. And I personally experienced a parallel world identical to this one as far as general appearance. And it was at nighttime, and it was an incredibly heavy fog. I was on a backcountry road, not far from here. I know the road like the back of my hand. And all of a sudden, while I was crawling through this dense fog, maybe 5 miles an hour, no quicker, because it was just so thick, I was afraid. I didn't even know if I was on the road. It was couldn't see anything. Flashing the brights, high, low, the lights, high and low, trying to get some kind of contrast so I could get some kind of perception while I was driving, fearing that I would hit something because you couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, I realized I'm on a section of road that doesn't exist there. And the trees now, some of these trees were gigantic, prehistoric looking. And so at this point, I knew I had a strange sensation in the back of my head, like in my mind. And finally, at some point, which seemed like just minutes of driving, I knew that the road I was looking for to turn off to get back to a main road to head home, I must have passed it, but I know I never seen it. So I was looking for a place to turn around. So I came across on the right a cul-de-sac. And I went in. And it seemed to be typical modern ranches, maybe four or five on the left and right side and one or two at the cul-de-sac. They were lit up, and I was tempted to go up and knock on a door to just inquire as to where I was because I was totally unfamiliar with this area. But I didn't because I knew something was wrong. And it was a good thing maybe that I didn't because if I knocked on a door, whoever came, and I wonder now what they would be like, whoever answered that door. Would they be like us or something else? And would I have been able to come back, get back into the car, or get back into this time-space dimension? And so I didn't inquire. I just stayed in the car, but I turned around at the cul-de-sac, and I took a left, and I was just crawling down the road, looking for the right that I, the road that I was looking for that should be on the right now, to take me to the main road. And I didn't take any more turns. I'm just crawling, couldn't see nothing. And what seemed like a few more minutes, all of a sudden, the fog began to thin a little bit, and I seen a stop sign. I slam on my brakes, and I'm at the end of a long road that I should have taken a right on, but I never did. That takes me right near the main road. And the fog at this point was pretty much gone. As I got near the main road, virtually no fog at all. And so there are no cul-de-sacs to this day on that back road that I was on. And the type of S curves and with the giant trees, nothing like that exists back there at all. And so I was gifted or fortunate enough to at least have an experience of being in a parallel dimension which seemed identical to here. Something didn't seem right in my mind. I had a peculiar feeling that's hard to describe. That must have been the sensors letting me know that you're not in Kansas anymore. and at the same time, when I was tempted to go out to knock on a door and I didn't, that must have been the guiding protection, making sure that I didn't get trapped in that dimension. And so parallel dimensions are just as important for understanding a reality as everything else. We're magical beings. We have access to all kinds of realms. Like the Lord said, there are many mansions in my Father's kingdom.
Yes.
And
there are no clear-cut lines between these dimensions either.
Not until you get really trained at it.
Yeah.
Then there are delineations, clear delineations, but it takes training.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's really gates.
Yeah.
That people have to go through.
Did you see any dinosaurs when you went into that dimension?
No, Don, but it was so foggy. I mean, couldn't see anything. But interestingly, when I came across this S-curve, at the apex of the S's, at both ends of the S, giant trees. I mean, they were like redwoods. We have big trees around here, 100 footers, no problem. And these were way bigger. And the trunks so massive, it was almost like being in the redwoods looking at those trees. And when I seen them, I was just stunned. That's when I knew for sure something wasn't right. And then when I hit the cul-de-sac, I'm like, there are no cul-de-sacs on this road. This is crazy. And where is the main road that I was looking to take a left on at first, and that I was heading west, so that main road, which is a long straightaway that takes me to the main road, the other real main road that gets me home, that should have been on the left. Never seen it at all while I was meandering down these S-curves and then finding a place to turn around, which all of a sudden the cul-de-sac appears.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very interesting. On the dream side, of course, many of us are accessing all these dimensions. That's what we're doing in many of our dream states.
Mm-hmm.
And if we gain control with our dreaming techniques, then we're really able to be more active on the dream side.
And you can actually access those states in a conscious state of
yes.
mind, too. You don't have to be asleep.
Well, you're actually learning how to regain your consciousness while you're sleeping.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right. Regaining your consciousness while you're sleeping, that's the trick.
Yes. Or remembering it, you know.
Remembering is part of the trick to bring it all about.
So your sensation then, or your conclusion about your experience, was that you were in a parallel timeline as opposed to being in a past or a future. And
yes.
if it's a parallel...
Because of the cul-de-sac yeah. with the modern ranch homes on the left and right laid out just like a modern little development with a cul-de-sac here. And so because of that, I said, yep, son of a gun, it's got to be a parallel to our world, just slightly off phase enough where they're in their own reality and we're in ours, but yet we're very similar in a lot of our apparent civilization. I'd just be curious to know what kind of people answered the door if I went out and knocked on one. To this day, I'm always thinking about that.
Hmm.
And then, you know, Don, and that must have been just another gift that the Lord allowed me to experience as he advances my spiritual nature. And a few years before that, I did experience the music of the spheres, and that also, which is a living music sound current that holds everything together like glue in creation at the atomic level. And when I started to hear it, it pulled me right out of my body, and I was literally now in another dimension again,
mm-hmm.
getting carried away by this sound current. And so I experienced that as well a few years before this event. And so multidimensional reality, absolutely the case. And that's why Richard Hoagland's video, Monuments of Mars, in the late 80s, early 90s time frame, was such a great piece of work, because when you study it, you realize that their conclusion, him and his scientist associates, conclude, based on the data, the physical data, that it's a multidimensional reality. The beings that built the giant pyramids on Mars, along with that face in Sidonia, and some other monoliths, are identical to the layout in Cairo, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got them started with thinking about, well, there's a message here. Obviously, they knew eventually we'd realize all this, And there's a significant clue to this. We have to figure out what it was. So through more study and with mathematics, one scientist into mathematics, fourth-dimensional mathematics, and then the other scientists studying more and more photos of the planets, and they piece it all together, and they realize what they're trying to tell us, whoever these beings were that created these monoliths, that it's a multidimensional reality. And planets are transducers. The poles themselves, each pole, each end of the planet, are interfacing the other dimensions. And the planet's in the middle as a transducer. The sun is literally a portal. Now, they didn't say this, but the sun, all stars are portals directly to the heavenly realms. And then that will correlate to the conquistadors in South America when they were looking for the source of all the gold. And some of the people, Spanish guys with the conquistadors, were more like historian type people, not conquistadors themselves. And one guy noted in his records how when he was watching the Incan priests strike their sun disc, all of a sudden, instantly, these beings, golden-like, were hovering in the air, talking with the priests. And they learned that they came through the sun, or from the sun, and that this disc, the sun disc, when they strike it, enables them to be transported.
Well, they've been studying these portals, and they like to call them wormholes or stargates, and although they're different, wormholes are something different from stargates.
Yes.
But I hear those terms, you know, thrown about.
Yes,
they're dimensional portals always.
That's
right.
They know all this for sure, but they're keeping it from us.
Yes, and you know, we've talked about this on many shows with Jim Murray. You know, these Vortexian concepts and the fact that the whole universe is filled with specialized grids of energy on different dimensions. You see, this, you're touching upon the control mechanism that's used down here it's all based on frequency control. Something as simple as a stop sign sitting there that represents halting you, you know, the momentary pause that you have to make at a traffic stop. Or the signs that prohibit entry into a building or into a street or whatever. Everything is frequency control.
Yeah.
And look at the low vibration that it operates on. And their propaganda and the methods through which they deliver the propaganda is all based on frequency control. Now, let's just speculate on what would bring a being of higher intelligence to this place with the low frequency that's operating. And I'm not speaking about the music of the spheres as they were created in the ultimate creation, but in terms of the frequency that we're giving off on this planet because of the dumbing down of the populace and our reaction, our natural reaction to these energy shifts that are occurring. The shifts in consciousness.
You have that along in addition with the negative energy accumulating here on our planet due to just man's activities over the last two centuries, but definitely the last century for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just all that negative energy accumulating as well, which is just a heavy, low vibration, very, very dark, like a black hole, like a man-made black hole, with all that negative energy we've created here, and so that compounds the whole situation, and those beings that come here from a higher vibration that are coming here, of course, have to be well prepared before they step down.
Yeah,
and they have to have various techniques of insulating themselves.
Well, they have to be, they have to be aware, not just based on their technology, but on their spirituality, in the totality of how they have moved through time and space in their own realities. When they come here And they see, or they can sense, the things that are happening, the things that are underway on a universal scale. And seeing that the Earth is entering a period of, we could say, rebirth, in a sense.
Yes.
And they're witnessing this process at the same time all this repression on the negative side is going on. So we don't dispute, you and I, or, you know, probably anybody that's really studied this, that there's something very dark, spiritually void of any light, occurring on this planet in an attempt to try to escape what is inevitable. And that's worth talking about. This is why I wanted to discuss this tonight, in light of all the disinformation that's out there. This is going to open up some spiritual eyes. This is going to bring some people to cause them to come to grips with the unspoken topics. And if we don't speak about it, who is going to? We have an obligation. If we're messengers of the truth, that's part of the message, and that has to be discussed.
Absolutely. This is the most critical type of discussion people can engage themselves in. I mean, what is more important than this kind of discussion, developing this type of awareness regarding this information? Corruption, well, everything is corrupt. Nobody's going to. I don't think we'll find anybody disputes that everything's corrupt now. Everything man-made. Everything that involves a system where money is being either held or transferred or acquired is all corrupt. And that's just a symptom of the disease state of mankind being conditioned in a system that's established by a hierarchy of evil, soulless beings that we call controllers that end up in the financial world because, of course, money is their God, and at the material level.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in a desperate state because that's been this way for ages, and it's soon going to be over. The Earth is being reborn again. She's going to be given an opportunity to let go of this old way with this negative energy. She's going to be able to, like a rug, shake it off, or clothing, discard it, and put on new, fresh clothing. And this time, nothing will contaminate. And that's what we have to look forward to. This is what we're experiencing right now. This transition is underway, and nobody can deny it. That's why there's all kinds of supernatural activity going on. That's why all of a sudden you can come across, look up cryptozoology on YouTube and just check out all the videos that you come across, and you'll see all of a sudden how these strange creatures are now coming to our attention that we never knew about, that we were told don't even exist. Or all this UFO activity, whether it's good or bad, with the abductions and the mutilations, or the good ones, which we really never hear about, where they're clearly friendly and are attempting to work with us so that we can grow and evolve into our true spiritual inheritance that's awaiting us.
Yeah.
And so the controllers, they're very much in fear of losing all this, and there's nothing they can do about it because it's inevitable, but they won't let go without a struggle. That's how pathetic they are.
Oh, yeah. And they spent too much time building up their empires.
And, that's right.
And their blindness, their spiritual blindness, has made them blind to the fact that it's all disintegrating. It's crumbling right in front of their faces. And they're trying to patch it up, you know, with a little bit of super glue here. And
that's right.
A little bit of Gorilla glue here and Elmer's glue there. And, you know, I'm not recommending products or condemning them. I'm just saying, you know, or Scotch tape or duct tape, whatever they need to use, you know.
Right.
It's far more serious that it remains the secret of centuries or millennia, on end. It speaks volumes about what it is. You can't have this recorded history in hieroglyphics or other ancient drawings. You can't have all this ancient technology, and they devote all their time and all their resources for discovering where these technologies may mm-hmm. have been buried. And you know, we get the false history. You have, and this is not intended to be a political statement, but you have right now this reclaiming of Mexican territory underway, you know, all the illegal aliens coming into the United States, and you have these Mexican groups claiming that it's their land. Well, they don't know their history all that well because they yeah. don't recall the Spanish coming here and murdering the Aztecs.
Yes.
Who were pyramid builders, by the way. You
yes.
see? It's very convenient to forget about that happening.
That's right.
Or the indigenous people that always honored those things, always honored the creator and the universe and the unseen world, which is very real. You know, a lot of people don't see the truth. That doesn't make those that see it wackos. Okay? And it makes those that know.
It goes to those that don't see it, though.
Yeah. But
just
to those
is.
That know the truth and intentionally lie and deceive about it, themselves are the wackos. They're actually psychopaths.
Yes, they are. They curse themselves with that kind of activity because you're either working for God or you're against God. There's no neutral. If you're trying to suppress truth, you're anti-God because truth is always related to God. And they rewrite the history to conveniently make everything palatable for us to accept them. And, of course, the real history is much more involved with spiritual activities, and they don't really want us to ever acknowledge that. Whether it's spiritual activities from a divine perspective, which are always benevolent, or if it's dark force spiritual activity that is spreading their control mechanism across the planet.
Yeah. You hear the average person, the average American, for example, say there's nothing good on TV. Then my question is, why do you watch it? Are you waiting for something good? Or, you know, obviously they don't understand the principles that are affecting them subconsciously. They can't stop it.
Yeah.
You see? They've been hypnotized. They've been brainwashed and mind controlled, propagandized.
Yes, we're taught not to think. And just to accept artificial stimulus, external stimulus, which TV is, stimulating our eyes, stimulating our ears, but it's shutting down the mind.
The
mind doesn't have to really think.
It's all done through the misapplication of technology.
Yes.
That could be used for a higher purpose.
Absolutely right, Don.
You see,
and that's the thing with technology. It's always either good or bad. It depends on how it's applied.
Mm-hmm. When you name a company Community Education Centers Inc. and they run prisons, you're really slapping the educational system in the face, are you not? Punching them right between the eyes.
Well, not necessarily. If they're referring to government education, then there you go. It fits right in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's a bit of sarcasm in my comment, but you see, they have to try to disguise it as if that's a bona fide reason that this company and this business exists. You see,
mm-hmm.
it's all it is a feeble attempt. Yeah, it's a front. It's an organized crime front.
That's right.
Simply, that's all it is.
That's right.
Everything that we're dealing with is about organized crime, whether it's the illegal drug trade or the illegal elections. Or the usurpation of the sovereign manner in which humanity was created.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. And you know, these are universal laws. They're not laws that just apply to Earth. They apply to the other places where there is life. Now, before we end our show, I wanted to discuss an individual that was known. You mentioned 1952, and the ships that appeared in Washington D.C. in broad daylight. By the way, that wasn't swamp gas. There were no weather balloons, and I don't even think they had crash dummies back then. And there was an individual by the name of Val Thor, And we had mentioned this person. This was a real person. Mm-hmm. He'd been photographed in public places, right, and returned to his planet. Would you like to share some information on who Val Thor is?
Well, Val Thor is an intriguing story. Frank Stranges is the author of the material relating to Frank Thor, Val Thor, based on his personal experiences. And Stranger at the Pentagon is the book, I think, that really covers Val Thor, where he appeared under the Eisenhower administration with Nixon as vice president and landed in Virginia in a small scout craft. The book shows a photo of that. And he stayed at the Pentagon and dwelled there for approximately 3 years. And he was attempting to work with the government, the military, and anybody else that would cooperate with the mission of spreading good intentions and peace with prosperity for all. And they didn't want that because that would threaten their economic system, which only enabled them to be rich and all of us poor.
Yeah, it wouldn't support greed.
Yes, exactly. And the oil, the petroleum cartel wouldn't even exist because we wouldn't even need oil. We'd have these other sources of energy production that would be a whole lot cheaper, cleaner, safer. And so they really wouldn't cooperate with him, but of course they wanted him around for as long as they could because, I mean, this was an amazing event, and they wanted to gain as much information that they could from him for their own purposes, of course. So he knew all that, and he didn't cooperate with them much, but he worked with Frank Stranges and other Americans, and the photographs came about with Val and his brother Don, with Jill and Tanya, and very young-looking, handsome people. And something about him, when you look at him in the photographs, you know there's just something about him that's different. And Valiant Thor did warn us as well that towards the end of the century, if things didn't turn around and these controllers stayed in place, that here in the United States, we'd encounter exactly what we're going through now, Don. All kinds of economic crises, energy crises, political crises, all by design so they could eventually get a martial law here, a dictatorship going here, and try to subvert our country and the rest of the world back into a literal dark age.
Yeah, and I mean, just contemplating that on the basis of what I know, it's just pure insanity.
Yes.
I can't describe it any other way.
I can't either, Don. You know, I was just coming down the street earlier, coming home, and it's a little village, and there's a squirrel dead in the road, and nobody, of course, whoever just hit it, doesn't even bother to pull to the side, see if it's dead, and so I know these squirrels. I mean, sometimes they're in my backyard. So I went out to see, it was dead. It was just killed, and it was a mom. And I hope the young ones were done nursing, so they have a chance to make it now. And but it's just needless death. I mean, how many animals? Every time we go down a road, there's animals in the road. All we need to do is hover off the road a little bit, so we don't hit anything. Okay, we can't zip across the skies because it's too chaotic, and we're not ready for that. But let us at least hover off the roads. We'll still use the roads. We never have to maintain them. Look at the tax money we're going to save, because we won't have to worry about refinishing the roads because we're not even touching the roads. But we'll use the roads still to travel over so we all keep it organized and nobody gets hurt. But we could have that a long time ago. A little anti-gravity machine so we're off the ground, and nothing has to get hit needlessly.
They wouldn't like that in Italy at all. You know, they have a habit of, when the auto repair business is down, they have a habit of removing the manhole covers on all the streets, you know. And then you need a whole new front axle or rear axle, front end alignment, you know, the whole nine yards.
Right. So primitive.
Yeah.
Just primitive.
These are the types of things that this society does to make the almighty, well, I'll use the word dollar, although it's almighty is a tongue-in-cheek, of course.
Sure. Instead of having a renaissance type of growth, a nucleus that becomes a major activity and spurs on all kinds of new methods of production where profits can be generated all over again, but in an honest, honorable, and godly way. But no, you see, we can't allow that. We got to keep it primitive, just the way it is, where it's so lame, it's insane, and it's pathetic, and it just can't go on too much longer because it's just totally pathetic. It's an absurd system we're living in.
Yeah.
And it's holding us back. We're in the 21st century, but it sure seems like we're going back to the 1500s, 1600s.
Yeah. Now, when we had General Jeremiah on, one of the first comments that he made was that the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, made overtures to several governments, okay, U.S. government, Russia, and I know that they've met with them personally several times, okay, and they were told what the requirements would be. Of course, that's the last thing they want to do is lose the stranglehold that they have on the masses on this planet.
Sure.
They can't see beyond their own greed, their own vices, their own fat noses and fat guts.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see anything except their own self gratification. And
yeah, at the lower levels, but at the upper levels, the inner circles, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the real devil worshippers, they can't lose sight of attaining the Luciferian kingdom here before the opportunity, the window closes for that. And that's what drives them. But all their little underlings that do their bidding, sure, that's all they see.
Yeah. Well, you know, even in baseball, the Yankees don't win all the World Series, okay?
But we keep trying, Don.
Pittsburgh doesn't win all the Super Bowls. And yeah, they try. But here's the point. The general said that this planet was not ready, that the consummate consciousness of the planet, was especially its leadership, was nowhere near being accepted into a galactic society, which holds innumerable advantages for them and for everyone. And yet, their short-sightedness, their blindness, their deafness, and really their retarded ways. Because to me, they're the epitome, regardless of what they know about science or technology. If it's something that has to be hidden from the public, then where is the honor in having that? Where?
So they're not really leaders, Don. That's our problem. We don't have leaders. We have a bunch of usurpers, racketeering, soulless, evil-minded people, very self-centered, of course, and they have usurped authority and established themselves as our, quote, leaders, but of course they're not leaders at all. If we had real leaders, we wouldn't be in any of the predicaments we're in right now.
Yeah. So now you alluded to the fact that many of them, or most of them, or probably all of them, are Satan worshipers, number one. And then there is an element of reality here that again is one of these taboo subjects that no one's supposed to talk about, and that's the presence of beings from other realms who are here, who are actually controlling through fear or through their own technology. It's readily accepted by people that this is going on. And yet, it's not acceptable that something is right outside of our atmosphere, watching
this. Let's just go right back to roughly 1989, maybe 87, maybe when the Phobos 2 satellite went up to Mars to study, in particular, the second moon of Mars called Phobos. It was a second attempt by the Russians. They failed on the first probe, Something went wrong. We secretly worked with him on the second attempt called Phobos 2. And when that satellite got right near the orbit of that moon Mars, all of a sudden something knocks it out of commission. And that's when Reagan gave a speech at the UN saying that what if we all were to find out where there was an outside threat that would unite all of humanity? So what's he talking about there? Obviously, somebody out there knocked down a probe again so that we could not get a close look at this moon, which is believed to be and is artificial. It's hollow. It was trying to get a close look at the opening, and that's when it got knocked out of commission. And so somebody's doing that, and there's something very recent. But again, the main media, boy, they don't touch that one, so most people don't even know that happened.
No,
but Reagan, everybody can remember seeing Reagan give that speech, though, at the UN.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get back to these photographs that I was talking about earlier in the show that come from the planet Balqui. Okay? In that documentary video, there's a portion where I put a number of minutes. I can't remember if it's 8 minutes or 11 minutes, but there's a stretch of NASA video. This is from NASA. And you can see from the space shuttle, you can see what appears to be hundreds of saucers flying, flitting back and forth, moving at incredible speeds, lighting up. Mm-hmm. You see intelligence in that. You see intelligent design. The creation of these craft is very expensive, far beyond the wealth, even if you allowed them to steal everything, which they pretty much have done anyway. But if you gave them all the wealth on this planet, they could only build a few of these craft with that money. And when you get into a ship 15 miles long and 5 miles wide, can anyone comprehend how large that is? And these craft have been seen by many people, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But these are nutcases. These are wackos. Why? Because they may talk about this on the Internet, or they may talk about it on a radio show. Yet, what do you call those that lie about all of this? When you yourself have had experiences.
And also people we know that have had experiences.
Yes.
I'll always remember as I used to, back in the late, I know it was early 80s, mid-80s maybe, when some books were coming out on the UFOs, abductions, and the grays. And so one time I was talking with a friend and about that, and she had a book on it, and on the cover it showed a gray. And she told me her daughter, when her daughter, which was only maybe 5-7 years old at the time, sees the cover of the book, she goes, "Oh, yeah, look, Mommy, the doctor." Okay, so I told my friend, I said, "Uh-oh." And so apparently she said, asked her, "Well, have you seen this?" She goes, "Yeah, lands in the backyard." Now, this was right in the city. And so how is it that everybody doesn't see it landing, only this little girl?
Mm-hmm.
That gives you a clue, though, what we're dealing with, how they have the ability to limit who can see them. That's a multidimensional activity there.
Yes.
And then there was a couple times where one particular friend, I was talking with him, and I just started to mention UFOs around the same time frame, mid-80s. And he was saying, "You know, Mike, I don't talk about this stuff because of the very reasons, Don. Everybody's going to think you're crazy." And but he was telling me about this UFO activity over his little development and apparently going after his wife and her sister when they were both walking the dog at another particular time. So after trying to get descriptions, he said, "Mike, it was like a city block floating on air." That was the description he gave me. Another time I'm talking with a cousin who's north of me. This guy's south of me. My cousin's north of me. And he said, "Mike, it was a summer night and went to let the dog out. The dog was acting funny in the house, so I figured it had to go out. But I opened the door and it wouldn't go out. So I'm like, go on, go out. But it wouldn't go out. But it was acting funny." So he said, "That was weird." So I walked outside. It was a nice night. And I'm looking out And he's got a lot of big pines around his house, around his property. And he said, you could see the stars shining. And all of a sudden, this huge object just above the treetops goes gliding over. Couldn't hear anything. Couldn't see any stars or nothing. Just this huge object with some lights. And I said, what did it look like? And he goes, it was like a city block floating on air. So there's all kinds of people having these experiences. It's all around us. And it's just a matter of talking about it. So we all come to terms with it. And no one has to fear of being ridiculed, thinking they're insane or anything. Because how can all these people have the same sightings, the same descriptions from different locations and all be crazy? It's impossible.
Well, when the mass landings start occurring, the mass sightings and the mass landings, these clowns are going to have egg all over their face. There's no doubt about it. And they're just trying to avoid that, just like they're trying to avoid the collapse of their fiat banking system.
Yes.
And their fake energy shortage and all the other lies, global warming and the bird flu and the swine flu and the real estate scandals. And we can go into any of these topics and do show after show, night after night on them. And the corruption doesn't end. Because in the end, it's all an illusion. It's all a lie.
In the end, it's all just a dream, Don. That's a fact.
But there is this reality. Okay, so let's go back to Val Thor, if we could, in our remaining moments here. So he returned back. He claimed he was from Venus.
Yes.
And he went back to Venus. Okay, now they tell us Venus is a gas planet.
Right.
Okay, so then Val Thor is living on swamp gas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, the lies.
Sure.
The lies. And they're lying about Mars as well. They're lying about the moon, about
sure.
many things. There's a
sure.
lot going on up there. Okay?
And they're lying about the Earth.
Yes.
Our own backyard, plenty of lies.
But and wrapping and summarizing what Val Thor had to say about life on planet Earth and where it was headed, underscore what he...
Well, I think it's important to definitely acknowledge, see, they also want us to believe that, well, we can't really talk about, you know, extraterrestrial activity or multidimensional activity because the churches are afraid it's going to mess up the people's religious beliefs and, you know, and God. It takes God out of the picture. And that's absurd. It just reinforces God even more. And so, of course, you can't accept that claim. Now,
it reinforces God and it discredits Satan, doesn't it?
It reinforces God and totally exposes the satanic activity.
Yes.
And for what it is all about, yes. Now, Valiant Thor, an interesting thing about Valiant Thor is he told Frank Stranges that he was on a personal mission assigned by Jesus the Christ to come here at that point in time. And so that's what's also very interesting with him, because Frank Strange confronted him with that right at the beginning of the conversation.
That's what General Jeremiah said, too. That Jesus has gone to all these planets.
Yes. Yes, the Lord is the judge of all creation and therefore has to be familiar with everything he's going to judge. But Valiant Thor acknowledges Jesus the Christ as the author, the authority, the ultimate individual that we all have to acknowledge. And so that gives Valiant Thor so much credibility. Because in addition to everything else that he was involved with here, his sharing that with Frank Strangers proves that he's operating as an angelic type of being and acknowledges Jesus the Christ as the Son of God, the author, he's the guy that has total authority over everything. That all living beings will have to acknowledge and come to terms with.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the beautiful things about Valiant Thor, as he impressed that upon Frank and gave Frank many experiences helping Frank as Frank got involved with Valiant Thor, the evil entities started to attack Frank, as Valiant Thor warned him they would when Valiant Thor wouldn't be around. So we showed him how to protect himself, and there was a couple times where Valiant Thor and his associates had to appear instantaneously to save Frank from being killed by these entities.
Mm-hmm.
And they were generally men in black by Frank's descriptions. Now, this is all back in the 60s. And so Valiant Thor then told Frank about what we could expect at the end of the century if current trends and conditions continue on, where these controllers are running everything and they continue monopolizing, and they have their sights on the United States as subverting it and corrupting it to the point where they can get it into a dictatorship. And they will take control over everything, property, all transportation, food, and medicine, and education. I mean, sound familiar?
Yeah, well, that's been done many times throughout history. This is not the first time this has been done.
This will be a larger scale than ever before, though.
Yeah, well, the corruption is definitely, you know, they're in their attempt to unify themselves, they can't seem to do that. They're incapable of doing that just because their greed amongst their elitist factions is outdone by one another. You know, they're in their lone struggle amongst themselves, and they want to subjugate us ultimately, but they all want to jockey for position. You see, you have a usurper that's also referring to himself as God right now. So, you know, take that into consideration. Well, Michael, we're out of time, but it's been interesting, and certainly we're going to have you on more in October. We have to set those dates up on our schedule.
I look forward to it.
But I want to get in next time, you know, we're going to probably have more information about the American police force. I know we had a caller that wanted to talk about it, and I really hadn't planned on spending a whole lot of time on that. So we will pick up that topic again. And Ron, you're welcome to call in another time, and we'll be happy to discuss what you might have found out about that organization. And there'll be more truth coming out about that. And you see, these are more smoke screens, aren't they, Michael? You know, we've got the flu pandemic, we've got this thing happening in Montana, but we have to recognize it for what it is. It makes no sense. It contradicts everything that you hear coming out of Washington, D.C.
You know, Don, ever since the turn of the 20th century into the 21st century, isn't it interesting how one crisis after another keeps coming out of the woodwork? Instead of everything seeming to smooth out more and more prosperity, more light appearing at the end of the tunnel for everybody, it's just the opposite. Things seem to all of a sudden go into a tailspin. Everything seems to be going bad. I mean, that's organized chaos. That's not random chaos coming from nature. That's organized chaos perpetrated by the same people in the background operating out of the dark, smoke-filled rooms. It's all obvious as could be.
Yes. Well, as much as they hate to hear this, this show is not only heard on bbsradio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, or blogtalkradio.com. It's being broadcast throughout the galaxy by the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. And so we want to thank them and their sponsors, which are some pretty important ones, by the way, for putting this show out and letting the truth go out into the universe, where others will know that there are a few people awake on this planet, and there are many more awakening. And as we move through time and eventually escape time on this prison planet, we look forward to meeting them and sharing in the truth. Michael, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, Don. God bless everybody.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Michael's got some great herbs, and I encourage you to check them out. Go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, and check them out. Also, we've got a new sponsor of the show, Huggies Coffee Bar. And this is, if you love coffee, you love tea, you love classic candies, health, certain types of health food bars, very unique items that are very hard to find. They do bulk shipping, bulk orders for holidays, for special occasions. Everybody gets a sweet tooth now and then. I've got so many photos that I could put up. I'm afraid that I'm going to be accused of stealing them off of a Russian website. So I've only put a handful up there. I'm tongue in cheek. But they're also a sponsor. Check out Michael's private stock. You owe it to yourself. The stuff really works, I can tell you that. Special thanks again to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com, Doug and Don Newsom, not necessarily in that order, for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Drew Raines. In the meantime, I wish everyone out there in radio land and internet land a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.